I spent a lot of time watching Flo growing up on the sidelines.
To be fair, you nearly got arrested at one point for taking pictures. Do you remember that? Welcome to Relatively Football. This is another siblings special off the back of our twins special. We have another set of sisters, this time also in London as well, I think, actually, but not twins, but just as exciting. We are joined by Sophie and Catherine Churchill. So introduce yourself, guys, so people can kind of work out who's who. So Sophie, give us a little intro.
Hello, I'm Sophie. I am 28 years old.
Love it. And Catherine, your turn to give us a little intro, a little bio.
Hi, I'm Catherine, and I'm 31. So the elder sister to Sophie. Yeah.
So wise. So I know a little bit about Sophie from the sort of women's football mafia, women's football world. I don't know anything really about Catherine. So I don't know, who wants to kick off? Maybe Catherine, you tell us a bit about yourself and how your journey into football, only because I know Sophie is maybe the more football fanatic of the two. So yeah. Maybe we'll start off with your story.
Yeah. So obviously, like, football starting right back when being like a kid, like, our dads always kind of played with us, like, in the garden, like, 2 versus 1, and always asking dad, like, oh dad, why aren't you like a professional footballer? And not really understanding that a kind of larger, portly German man wasn't maybe fit enough to be in a team, although he was really good. And then kind of getting towards my teens, just really stopped playing football. I played a little bit at secondary school. My relationship was quite like distant. I'd watch Sophie at various Sunday leagues and stuff like that. And it was almost like a punishment of if I'd done something wrong, because I was maybe the naughtier child, I had to come and watch Sophie at the sideline. So it was a punishment. It kind of stopped. And we also had the relationship whereby my dad was like the biggest Chelsea fan. So anything, we couldn't wear like red ever. It was blue. Like, otherwise we didn't get any pocket money. So it's been, like a varied kind of childhood with football. And as I said, quite distant and almost used as a punishment in a sense, because it wasn't my first love. And then about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, Joe's sister, so my husband's sister, I saw her playing at a women's kind of grassroots football competition. And I was like, why am I not playing football? That looks so much fun. So joined like a local team in Peckham and started playing on Sundays. Saturdays, and really just discovered like a love for it. And it was at the time also there was the Women's World Cup as well, and watching all of the Women's World Cup, and it just really ignited like a kind of passion of watching it again, getting really into women's football as well, and the community behind it, as well as like a common dialogue between then all of my family and Joe's family as well. So yeah, that's kind of my history. But I don't work in football or anything kind of all on the other side fashion.
Cool. I actually forgot to say that Theo's here as well. I forgot to intro you. I'm so rude. You're the polite host, because you intro me, but I forgot to intro you. So Theo is also here. He's joining us. So we got, you know, four siblings on the Zoom.
I feel like I'm the Catherine to your Sophie. You're in the football mafia. You're a big deal, but I'm here to support you. Catherine, I spent a lot of time watching Flo growing up on the sidelines, but it wasn't a punishment. I my I often was the only sibling there.
To be fair, you nearly got arrested at one point for taking pictures. Do you remember that? At a girls' football match. You had to have a talking to because you were taking pictures of all these
girls in football shirts. Like a nice camera with me with a proper lens. I've always been very into photography. And so I went to go take some pictures of Flo, and the ref basically set me off from the sidelines.
He meant well.
He was under 16s. Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. I don't blame the ref.
Yeah,
I'm her brother, I swear. And they were like, oh, we've heard that one before, mate.
Safeguarding, though. We appreciate it, safeguarding.
No, exactly. Anyway, Sophie,
how does your timeline match up alongside that? So obviously Catherine's kind of in and out, and then World Cup and Friends really brought her into it. But I know for you, football was quite a big part of your life, and you know, you played it through uni and everything like that. So how does that differ for you?
Yeah, I think, until recently, until the past couple of years when Catherine has got involved in it as well, we've been polar opposites. It's weird. There's a photo of me only a week or so old, and there's a football, like a football toy on my lap. The whole time growing up, I don't know whether it was me asking to go or my parents. I think by then my dad realized he wasn't going to have a son and was like, well, one of them has got to play football, like I need an excuse to watch it and be involved. I became the footballer out of the two of us. Started playing from the age of 5 and then never really looked back. And yeah, it's funny, I'm glad Catherine mentioned that it was when she was grounded. I always, obviously as the younger sibling, looked up to her the whole time and always wanted her to come and watch the games. Maybe if there was a cup final, I'd be like, maybe she'll come. But in the end, I just had to hope that she'd got caught doing something in the weekend before so that she'd be grounded and have to come and watch.
Did you ever frame her? Did you ever like do something and then blame it on her? You'd come in and like the whole kitchen would be a mess, or like someone had stolen, you know, a tenner, and you'd be like, Catherine, how could you? I guess you'll have to come to the cup final.
I wish I'd been that devious, but that sounds more like something she'd have done.
I think I made enough trouble, to be honest. I go to enough football games.
I never had to worry that she'd do something wrong. She'd definitely get at least a few games per season, so it's all right. But yeah, then eventually, you know, actually realised how good a sport it is. And she got involved a few years ago, and now it's kind of turned the other way. I'll go and watch her play in like tournaments and things like that. So it's kind of like come full circle, and it's really nice that we have that kind of even more common ground to talk about and enjoy together.
Are you still playing, Sophie, or not anymore?
I play casually, if it weren't for that pesky knee injury.
that damn ACL, my dream.
Exactly. So I decided to, you know, work in it instead and kind of pursue that dream as a more realistic dream than actually winning the World Cup.
Well, you've got to keep dreaming. Never give up on your dreams. You never know. Yeah. Formiga's what, 41 now, 40? So we've still got time, guys. We've still got time to get
there. You've got over 10 years to make that World Cup squad, Sophie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just touching on that. So you work in video?
Yeah. A video producer, social content type role.
And how has that changed over maybe looking at kind of Catherine's timeline with the game? Like, has that changed a lot in the last 18 months?
In terms of being more kind of female orientated,
the type of content, like the content itself, but also the audience.
I guess so for the past kind of two seasons I was working on WSL content, and just the popularity of it, you know, rocketed from the World Cup, and just the quality that we see in the WSL. I mean, it means that you guys can kind of do a podcast about it, and you know, there is that audience there that want it, whereas originally, you know, these roles didn't exist because no one actually was bothered enough about women's football, so these roles didn't exist. And now, yeah, I was lucky enough to make that content for a couple of years.
And you guys mentioned your dad, who massive Chelsea fan. So have you guys stuck with it? Are you Chelsea fans, or have you rebelled and gone the other way, turned away from the blues, or you've stuck with it?
We've both stuck with it, haven't we, Catherine? I wanted my pocket money, so.
I'm amazed. I was looking at Catherine and I was like, oh, this definitely has some trouble. Like, she definitely had a couple of seasons in a Arsenal or Spurs shirt or something, but.
I mean, I would come down. There was always the threat of I'm going to support Man United. That would be, you know, if you're having an argument, or when I was, you know, maybe not 8, I'd be like, I'm going to support Man United. There's nothing you can do about it. But that, like Sophie said, this threat of pocket money, we were like, no, it's fine. And would immediately change into like a blue kit. So, yeah. Yeah, still very much Chelsea.
So would that have been Chelsea men's, I assume?
Both, really. Cool. Because Chelsea women's play in King's Meadow, which is quite local to where we grew up. So we've gone to quite a few games altogether, haven't we? Like the whole family. So yeah. And then saw them at Stamford Bridge for the first game.
Classic times.
So your dad, like, would... from a young age would definitely like watch the Chelsea women's team and take you to the game, or if the FA Cup was on the telly?
Yeah, I think more so me probably, growing up playing football. If there were, I played for Fulham when I was kind of, I don't know, 11 or 12, and they were the only, well, they were semi-professional, but they were the only team getting paid any amount of money back then. So any games of them we could get to. And then I played for AFC Wimbledon, and they had a really good women's team at the time as well. So I would go and watch their games after our games on a Sunday morning. So yeah, he's always been, you know, quite proactive with that. But yeah, Catherine was still in her punishment phase then, so she wouldn't have wanted to come and watch them. That was still very much if she'd done something wrong, then she'd be forced to come.
But I did come when you were playing in Wales, in Cardiff, but that's literally when you had just done your ACL. So I just got back from holiday, and what was it?
It's the Women's Champions League.
Yeah.
It was a big one. It was a big one.
Wait, Sophie, you played in the Women's Champions League?
Yeah, so the qualifiers of it. So I played in the Welsh Premier League, and if you win that, then you go into the qualifiers of the Champions League. So you kind of play 3 games in about 10 days. Like you play all your group games, in one place. And we hosted it 1 year.
Way ahead of their time. That's very lockdown now.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing that.
You had your little bubble going on.
We did, yeah. It does feel like that, actually. It's a very, you kind of stay in a hotel, you don't see anyone. But Catherine had just come back from like a travelling stint, but I did my ACL in the second game and she'd arrived for the third game.
You didn't know I was coming to see you, did you? It was like a big surprise. So I'd literally got off the plane and got on a coach to Cardiff. And as I'd like landed, found out that you'd injured yourself, but at least I got to push you around in a wheelchair.
misbehaved. Yeah, misbehaved in the hotel instead.
Did Cardiff end up qualifying without you, or...?
No, unfortunately not. We came, you know, the closest we did whilst I was there. I was there for four different campaigns. And that's the closest we got whilst I was there, but no.
They didn't have you quite. To take them over the line. That's the thing, though.
No, you always need I don't know how old I was then, 26-year-old right back to win those games for you.
Exactly, essential part of it. No, it's interesting now as well, because it's sort of the tables have turned in a way, in a little bit, for you guys in terms of who's playing as much. Is that weird? Is it weird, Sophie, for you to see Catherine, the one who's the keno now? And you're the sort of like experienced, wise old veteran being like, my knees, I'm so sorry, like I can't do it. Is that weird?
It is a little bit. We did, during the first lockdown when you were allowed to meet people in a park, I went and kind of drove to Peckham and did some training for her and a couple of her friends, which felt funny. Like I've never, that football is probably the only thing that I'm better at, but actually no. But yeah, coached them a few things, which... I guess felt a bit weird.
What did you, yeah, you go by in that session? Sorry, Gaffer,
Coach,
Soph. The Chosen One, Well Behaved Sister.
Yeah, probably just my name, but in hindsight, I should definitely assert some kind of particular title in those sessions. I think you're right.
I'm sure there was some coach being like, coach, what do we do now? You're quite like an unruly bunch of 30-year-olds.
Yeah, I was going to say, you sound like more like 5-year-olds. Like, help us.
Having a sip of Stella in between each drill. Yeah.
What do you think was unique and special, and maybe you love about growing up in the sort of late 90s, early 2000s as young women playing football? And what do you think, maybe looking at it now, do you admire that, like, if you were 13 now, how things would look different?
Catherine, got anything?
For you, Sophie, I was immediately thinking of the fact that you played in those, like, when you were like 5, playing in all the boys' leagues on like a Saturday and Sunday. So, like where I live now, I can see that there's like, it's like you've just got loads of girls like on a Saturday and Sunday playing football in all these different leagues, which is amazing to see. So that's something that I don't know if I would have, you know, had the same relationship of football like growing up, but definitely the fact that there's, you know, there's so much in the press and there's so much that it feels like we're getting to a closer, well, at the moment there's no equality, but like I feel like we're getting at least like one step up, and like even if that's like every year it's another step, and being 13 now, just being able to see that and actually, you know, being a professional footballer, being an option as a woman, that's maybe what I would think.
Yeah, I think going on from that, just how much more accessible those role models are. So, you know, I was quite lucky, having played football from a young age, I could seek out those role models. So like being at Fulham, Rachel Yankee was also there, and because they weren't fully professional, she had to coach my team quite often. You know, so that was a role model right there for me that I could see with my own eyes. And another thing that me and Catherine have forgotten to mention is that our mum played for England, kind of represented England.
You what the hell?
What
we
you what?
We're like 15, 20 minutes in. Like, how have you just dropped this in?
That's, you lead with that. Your dad also, like did 2-on-1 in the garden, but your mum was playing for England.
That's actually rude to your mum. That's so rude to your mum.
What year? Sorry, what year?
God. It was in Taiwan, so I don't think it was officially called the World Cup, was it? It was called like the Women's International.
Oh, was it the 90? Was it one in the 1970s? Was it that one?
It was in Taiwan.
Yeah, maybe the first world women's football tournament, it was called, I think. And they represented, I think they actually represented Great Britain, maybe. There's lots of, we've got like a book with lots of photos in it. She was the flag bearer at the opening ceremony and things like that. So yeah, we had her as a role model as well. Sorry, Mum.
Wow. Saw's mum. That's so cool. And is she still playing?
No, she doesn't. She's, you know, bad back. She sticks to her Pilates and things like that. But I mean, she would kick the ball back in the garden and at the park and things like that. I've actually played a bit of football with her in the park during lockdown. But again, that was a few sips of Stella in between. So
it must be crazy for her to see the trajectory as well, just from her experiences, then obviously like watching you, Sophie, taking part in Champions League qualifiers, and now, well, I mean, last year's World Cup, she must have been blown away. She must have been like, this, the difference in this is crazy.
Yeah, definitely. I know whilst they were out there in Taiwan, actually, they were basically celebrities for the 2 weeks or so that they were there. But obviously no one at home
knew anything. Know,
could, they didn't, yeah, they couldn't care less, kind of. Yeah. And it was just mental how they went from being celebrities for 2 weeks. They were, you know, they loved women playing football, and then they came back and then, you know, back to studying or their day jobs or whatever.
Yeah, which is weird because she's so modest about it. It's only if me and you like will bring it up that she'll talk about it, because she's come to watch like a tournament that I've been in. And someone's, I think Sophie, you mentioned it, and she was like, oh yeah, I was in that. But it's incredible, like the coverage that, like Sophie said, the magazines we've got at home. And she's got like a massive stack of fan letters as well. It was huge at the time.
They're just from Dad.
Is that how they met? He was out in Taiwan. I feel like I have this seat image of like you kind of sitting around, you know, the table in the morning and you're having your cereal and someone says, oh dad, like, did you see the Fulham ladies score? Do you know what the football scores were? And your mum turns around, she's like, football. Now that's a word I haven't heard in a long time. And then she kind of waffles off all these stories. Role models, money, stability, support, professionalism wasn't there. But what do you think needs to be held on to as flag bearers when you think about the like pay to play era or young women who didn't have the role models? What do you think needs to be held on to and make sure we don't lose as a part of the story? Kind of when you think about experiences you had or your mum had that like is kind of important to remember about the game, whether or not like, I can't really think of an example, but I often think about this in all types of football, like especially during lockdown, there's no fans, for example. And I think we need to make sure that that doesn't become normalized. And the idea of like people turning up to football is part of the routine. It's part of the culture. And so what do you think, like women's football culture didn't start in 2018. So what do you think we need to make sure that we like weave into the tapestry?
I think for me, kind of what I want to hold on to as things, you know, as it gets more popular, and it's just that is the accessibility and kind of the visibility of these players. You know, we want it to become more professional and as close to the men's game as possible, but holding on to those bits that make it unique. And it will be difficult, as we all know, and I'm sure you've kind of, people have many discussions about, but how will the female players at the end spend a lot of time going around and talking to the younger girls, and just that visibility to go to a game. I know it was great for me when I was younger watching the AFC Wimbledon team, thinking, oh, one day that could be me. And then them even coming over at the end and being like, did you enjoy the game? And straight away, that's just an immediate role model for you. And you're like, this is crazy. Like, that's who I want to be. They might not be in the newspapers, but to you, like, you'll hold on to that. And, you know, I've idolised Rachel Yankee ever since I met her. She taught me how to take a penalty. She said, kick it low and in the corners. I mean, it's fairly common sense, but no one had ever told me that before.
If Rachel Yankee speaks, you listen.
Yeah, exactly. So I think just, you know, as much as we can, it will be hard as the game grows bigger, but to try and keep hold of that accessibility and the closeness of those role models is the most important thing, I think, to me.
Same for you, Catherine. I'm getting a nod.
Okay. I'm not really sure how to answer it, but I'll try. I guess, but for me, especially going to see like Chelsea women's play at King's Meadow, it's such like the fans are like so varied. You see like families coming together. And I guess it kind of ties on to what Sophie was saying in terms of accessibility. You try and go to like a men's Premier League game and it's 50 quid and it's just not very accessible. So obviously I'm not sure how the two can go hand in hand as it grows, because often that goes hand in hand with price hikes. But it would be amazing to see that, you know, the core fan base still listen to and stay the same as it grows big, because I can see families coming together at those games, which is really special, because they're bringing along young daughters, young sons, and again it starts that conversation like I had when I watched Jess play. Oh, that looks really fun. I want to go do that.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great answer. And I think that's where I often find myself in the past 2 years, especially because being international and having the FA player and thinking, really not taking that for granted. The access to the games is unparalleled in the sport across other aspects of it, be it in other international leagues or men's leagues or whatever. So to be able to watch so much football, for going to the games to be affordable, like you said, to have the diversity of fans and the safeness and the community, how do you monetize something in our society and not lose that? It's tricky. We haven't really seen it be done. You have rumors of Sky Sports coming in for a deal, you know, next season. I think this, what you're talking about, Catherine, is exactly like the next phase, and how we manage that as a community, I think, is going to be really interesting to see. I just kind of wanted a more general question on just like what football means to your relationship to each other. Like, Is it something that brings you together when you've had a falling out? Or is it something that you can like always, you know, if you need a friend and you're just like feeling a bit inside your own head, it's like something you can just talk about, the football? Or is it more ambient than that? It's just like something you always kind of like going through singularly, or like for Catherine, for you, was it a way of connecting, of like you were very different to Sophie growing up, but it was a way you kind of always came back together? Or is that only recently football's been that to you? Was it different when you were a kid? I just one more question on sort of like what it is as like a conduit between the two of you. Also a very vague question. Sorry, I'm coming out with these weird ones.
So I guess both Sophie and I have like kind of admitted like as children, we weren't the closest. And I think that's because we were quite different.
And you were horrible.
I was horrible, which I've made up for now. I'm not so horrible now.
Sometimes we all go through a phase when we just realise we were difficult people growing up. I was.
The pod will be too long, but I've done terrible things to Flo.
We've all done terrible things to our siblings. One time I spat in Theo's shoes. That was a low.
That's incredible.
I will regret it. When we had an argument, I think I was about 12. That was a low point, but we move on. We heal those wounds. So, you know, don't worry.
Yeah. I mean, I was just pushing boundaries where I could. As you do as like, I guess maybe the eldest child. But then as, like, I was really proud to see Sophie, obviously like continuing to play and like play in different leagues. And in like really following her like passion, like staying at Cardiff for all those years. How many years was it, Sophie?
Seven years.
but I was really like proud of that. And so we wouldn't really talk about football, but then I'd say when, especially now you're back in London, we've got much closer, and that's kind of coincided with me playing as well. So we will talk about football. We'll go to games, men's or women's, together. And we'll try and beat each other on fantasy football as well at times. So, which I hope they make a women's version of soon as well.
Yeah. I agree with what Catherine said then. We've never really like fallen out or anything. We just, you know, have sometimes been distant because of geographically. I was in Cardiff at uni for 7 years. But I think, yeah, me moving home and then her starting to play football gave us just a really great base to work from. I'm sure like we would be close anyway, but it's just nice if she's like, oh, I've got a tournament this weekend, and it gives me an excuse to go over to East London and watch. I think it's just, yeah, it gives us something to talk about. We still try and get to Chelsea games when we can, as a family. And if not, we can, obviously at the moment especially, we can talk about them. Just gives us that common ground. I think it's brought us together even more so.
Yeah, I'd say at least like 50% of our WhatsApp family group chat is about Chelsea, isn't it? So then me kind of getting back into it really made me feel a bit more like a part of it. And we can have, you know, I'd always try and fake it with my chat, which didn't really go down very well. But yeah.
At the beginning, she'd be like, oh, this Zola's a quality player. You're watching a game from the archives.
I too still love Zola to this day, though.
Watching Catherine Court, watching Premier League years from early 2000s, not knowing anything of what's going on.
The lockdown does funny things to us all, Catherine.
It does.
I think that's probably a good place to wrap up then. Thank you so much, both of you, for your time and sharing your stories. That's totally what we're here to talk about, is family and football and the quirks. And I love what you two, your relationships to the game, because it has flux, it's fluid, it has changing. You can fall in love with football whenever, and your relationship with your sibling can change whenever. And it's just one of many fabrics of your relationship that kind of keep you together. So yeah, good luck, Chelsea, this year. love to your mum. Let her know when she and her sibling want to come on the podcast.
Yeah, huge love to your mum. Can't wait to do the interview with her. What's her name?
Let's get a shout out.
Jackie.
Shout out, Jackie. Next episode, we're getting Jackie on and any sibling that she may have, or if she's an only child, we'll just get her
on anyway. We'll do a full rundown of the 1970 Taiwan, Great Britain.
Game by game.
Yeah, and good luck with all your video work and the fashion stuff. And yeah, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.